turn to Matthew 16. Today, and one thing that I have been experiencing in his presence, because we gather in his name, right? We say we gather in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Think about it. We gather in the name of Jesus, right? It's more than just gathering. It's gathering in him. It's coming into Jesus when we gather. It's a reality by faith that we enter into, that we believe that Jesus is here. So when we gather in the name of Jesus, that means that there is a substance and reality we step into his kingdom. Because it's not just about gathering. Jesus didn't die for good services. Jesus died that he would possess us, that he purchased us with his blood, right? He bought us. So he purchased us and brought us into himself, right? That we would gather in his name, and that in his name, a certain reality of who he is would mark our lives, right? The same way that when you're in the presence of somebody, you are influenced by them, right? You come under their influence and you begin to receive from their life whoever they are. So to gather in the name of Jesus means that we gather into him and he can be himself over us because he's king, right? So it's and Song of Solomon says his name is ointment poured forth, right? So that means that if we gather in his name, there's a substance in reality that in his name, there's, because it's like, for, let's say an example, right? His name is ointment poured forth. It's oil poured forth over us. So there's a substance in reality that when we gather in his name, he releases himself over us. And his release over us makes us something that we can't make ourselves. And that's why it's so crucial to understand that God's desire to reign as a people. There has been some reality when we gather at our church and we gather in homes in Orlando, Florida. We gather as the church in homes and we allow Jesus to come. And when he comes however he wants, right? And this is the key, that we gather in his name, in faith, believing that he will come however he wants. And we have to make room for him to come however he wants because he knows what we need. We don't know what we need, right? What does it say? We don't know what we ought to pray. That's why the disciple says, teach us to pray. Like, we don't know how to pray, right? We're in desperate need for Jesus to define how to even walk with him. That's why it's this life of dependency, of clinging to Jesus and saying, where are you going? What are you doing? Like, show me how to walk. Show me how to live. Because outside of you, I'm just speculating and I'm just assuming what is right from wrong. And that's eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This world is eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're just saying, well, this is right, this is wrong. And they're just assuming a lot of, you know how people think they're good people? Like, that's an assumption. They're good because they're eating from what their own standard of right and wrong, right? That's the knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of life is a tree that Jesus begins to show you what true life is, what true, like, fellowship with him is. And he begins, when you begin to eat from the tree of life, it's no longer intellect or your own understanding. It's him feeding you from himself, from the fruit of heaven, from the fruit of love, from the fruit of his presence. And he begins to show you how to pray, how to love, how to respond, how to be, how to like actually reveal him to this generation. So it's key to understand that when we come into his presence, we come submitted and surrendered and saying, Jesus, how do you want to come? Like, how do you want to reign over us today? Because he knows, first of all, he knows who gathers. This is important, guys. Are we on the same level? Do you guys get what I'm saying? Okay. So he knows who gathers. It's important. Like, I value each person that's here. And Jesus values every single life, even though you're on the back row. Older generation, our mothers and fathers back there. It matters that you're here. Jesus cares who gathers. You know why? Because who gathers will determine how he shows up. Because he has a specific, so to speak, if we go back to that analogy, there's a specific substance that he wants to give us from that tree of life. There's a specific revelation of himself that he wants to release over everyone that is there gathered in his name, right? And so, but when that happens, when we gather, Jesus sees, okay, my daughters are here, my sons are here, okay. He knows who's there, and now he's like, all right, this is how I want to show up. This is how I want to mark them with my presence, because they're gathered in my name, in my presence, and now I could release the substance of who I am. I could allow them to taste of me so that I would mark them in a specific way, right? And we see this, actually, yeah, let's actually just turn to Revelation real quick, because we see this clearly represented in Revelation chapter 2. There's seven churches, right? If you've ever read the book of Revelation, it's amazing. It's the revelation of Jesus. It's not the revelation of the doom and gloom, end times, tribulations. The revelation, this is actually the only book with a blessing. Do you know that? It says, blessed is everyone who reads this book and who keeps the words of this prophecy until the time written. That's verse 3 in chapter 1. This book has a blessing in it. If you read it, I actually spent a season when I was 17? I think I was 17. I read this book like 20 times. Just every week, I'd say, I'm reading the book. IHOP gave me that call, so like when I was there, they're like, read the book of Revelation. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. And I spent like a whole like half a year just reading once a week, I just read through the book of Revelation. And it marked my life, because it's not a revelation of just the end time, it's a revelation of Jesus. And I believe that this book speaks of what God wants to make his church, what God wants to bring into his church in releasing the revelation of himself over the church to define the church in their geographic region. The church isn't good meetings. It's not meetings with goosebumps. It's not meetings with songs. It's meetings where Jesus reigns as Lord. It's where he shows up and his presence will define communities in specific presence of his glory. When it comes, it begins to define communities, and he releases identity and truth over communities. And through that, then he could express himself to the city and to their generation. So look, we'll just read one example of why Jesus comes in unique ways. And in all the seven churches, he's coming in different ways, because the people there and the city and their geographic region actually matters. And that's why it's so important to be part of a local church, of a local body in a community that you say yes to and run with. It matters in God's heart. Your relationships matter. Your faithfulness and commitment to one another, the relationships in this room, like, if this isn't your local church, like, it matters. Your local community matters to the heart of God, because he establishes his kingdom amongst the people that say yes to God and to one another. And so God knits our hearts together in relationship. So anyways, let's read this. Verse 8 in chapter 2. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So what is Jesus? He comes saying, I am the first and the last. I am he who was dead and came to life. Why does he come like that? Because he says, you guys are about to suffer. Some of you guys are about to be put into prison. Some of you guys may even die right now. Like, he says, but then he says, don't worry, be faithful unto death. So the revelation of him overcoming death is when, like, he wants them to get it, that they should not fear death, because what is coming their way, if they keep their eyes on Jesus, they will overcome. And they will be and that is how their death will be victory. He's encouraging them in like their prison sentence, right? You're about to suffer. You're going to be thrown into prison. You will be tested. You have tribulations. Be faithful unto death. You'll receive a crown of life. So he's encouraging them. But his encouragement, what is his encouragement? It's himself. The greatest motivation in the Christian life is Jesus. It's seeing who he is right now. It's coming into his presence and then beholding him. Because as you behold him, you get filled with what you need. Because he knows what we need. We don't know what we need, guys. We don't know what we need. A lot of times we think we know what we need, but only in his presence does his presence come and show us, you need this. And then his presence becomes the anecdote. It becomes the medicine. It becomes the healing balm. Whatever you need is found in him. And that's why it's crucial to be a people that sit at the feet of Jesus and allow his words to come and resound over our hearts. Because from that place, he begins to give us our identity. From that place, he begins to validate who we are. You know, a lot of people in our generation, where we're, you know, naturally we're people that want to find out who we are. You know, that's the question. Who am I? Where am I going, right? Like, what do I need to do with my life, right? And I am fully convinced. I am absolutely convinced that without God, you will not find yourself. Like, outside of the presence of Jesus, you can find out things you're good at. You can find out, like, things that you like. You can go through all the tests and find out, like, all right, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. But only the presence of Jesus will actually unlock who you are. I've experienced it in my life, where I'm spending extended times of time in the presence of Jesus, and he begins to validate those things that I know I am. For example, I'm a creative at heart. I love the creative arts. I started doing graphic design and do like video stuff and all this stuff, right? And it's naturally, like, I'm wired like that. So in the natural mind, I could be like, okay, I'm going to go to I'm going to get a degree in the graphic arts and be a graphic artist and all this stuff, right? And I'm going to, like, do all my skillful things. And I never did that. Not ultimately, because Jesus led me a different way. But I leave that example to say, earlier this year, I'll just bring you into my life. Earlier this year, I'm spending time with Jesus, and he begins to validate my creativity. And it was like an explosion within me. No longer did I just know I'm a creative. I began to realize that this is who God created me, and his voice now affirms who I am. And like, literally, there's just this explosion within, and I'm like, I am free to do this. Like, and when his voice validates you, no matter who comes up against you, you have joy and peace and freedom, and you are empowered by him to be who you are. So it doesn't even matter what resistance you meet your way. No one can reject you, because God's accepted you. You're so assured that this is who you are and this is who God's called you to be, that it doesn't even matter what people say anymore. And so so that's why in his presence, as we give ourselves to it, he begins to, like, piece you together. He begins to speak. His voice begins to build your life. And even the things you thought you were good at and you thought you were capable at, He begins to say yes, yes, yes. And when you have that, there's so much joy and freedom. And I want everyone in this room to experience that, because that is liberty. That is life. That is the life he calls us into. And so there's that individual, you know, that's just my individual story. And then there's that individual experiencing of when Jesus comes and affirms who you are. But then there's that corporate coming where Jesus comes and begins to mark you as a community. And throughout, just as we read, I believe that God's raising up different communities that will embody the different revelations of Jesus. And why is that important? It's important because we are the ecclesia. And that word, so now we'll go to Matthew 16. The word ecclesia is the Greek word for church. And we're going to go to where Jesus first said the word church, right? So Matthew 16, verse 13. Are you guys tracking with me? It's good? Okay, good. This is going to be fun. All right. So when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So what do we see here? We see Jesus asking, "Who am I?" Right? And he's asking pretty much the closest people in his life at that moment. And they spit back to him things that they've heard. Well, yeah, some people say you're Jeremiah, some, you know, Elijah, you know, one of the prophets. Like they're saying assumptions and opinions and perspectives of other people, right? And then he asks them, "But who do you say that I am? Who am I to you?" Right? And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," right? And then Jesus just breaks out, releasing a blessing over Simon, and even to the point of changing his name. Like, this is how powerful the revelation of Jesus is. It changes who you are. Like, this is what we need to understand. Seeing him is what transforms our life. So in that moment, we see all of Scripture. Well, if you just feel Jesus. Genesis, from Abraham to Abraham, from Jacob to Israel, from Paul to Saul, from Saul to Paul. We see name changes happen when there's encounters with God. And this is the moment of the name change in Peter's life. From Simon to Peter. Why? Because he really saw who Jesus was. Transformation only happens when there's revelation. When you see who he is, you see who you are. He reveals who you are in him. I like how in the Psalms it says, "In your light we see light," right? In your light, we see light. We are the light of the world, right? We believe that, right? Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." But In your light, I see light. In his light, when his light shines, it shows me what light I'm supposed to shine and how I'm supposed to shine. So in his light, we see light because his light is revelation, right? Something revealed is when light shines. It's opened up to us. It's like right now, this would be crazy, right? What if right now there'd be something that opened up and just like a veil was torn and you would see all of heaven? Wouldn't that be cool? You know that's possible. It's really possible. I believe in that stuff. We're called to see. But we're called to see ultimately through the eyes of faith. All of that we see is temporary, right? We need to see in the dimension of faith. We need to believe of this reality that heaven is here right now. But imagine if heaven was opened up to you. Like, how transformative would that be to your life? But I believe every day heaven is available for us to really access heaven by faith and receive Jesus and who he is. And so Peter sees Jesus and he changes his name and he says, the Father has revealed this to you. And he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. What is the rock? It's the revelation of Jesus. It's seeing who Jesus is. Jesus builds by himself. You know that look, on this rock, I will build my church. Jesus is building the church by himself, from himself and through himself. It's all in him, through him, for him, to him, all around him. It's all about him. That's why we gather in his name. Anything outside of him is vanity. It's useless. It's passing away. It's all of the flesh. That's why we need to be a people that enter into the spirit and that live in the reality of faith and access Jesus and his presence. And it's easy. It sounds complicated. I'm sorry. I don't want to make things complicated. It's very simple. It's super easy. It's actually so easy that you have to be a child to access it. It's not complicated. So, like, I know I'm using these words like revelation and presence and like in Jesus, all this stuff, but like, it's actually really easy. So take off the burden if you think, oh, I wish I could get there. It's like, no, it's very easy to see Jesus. You just need to be a child and faith and believe and just take a hold of him. And we'll talk about that in the end. Because it's so simple. It's so easy. It's so easy. That's what brings me joy. The accent, like, if it was hard, that would suck. For real. I think that's the majority of our struggle in Christianity is that we think we have to strive to get a hold of God when he's made everything available to us and everything's for our taking. It's literally for our grasping. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means it's like right here. So take it. Take and drink. It's really that easy and simple. That's actually been something I've been telling people when I've recently. That's been my favorite verse. I'm sometimes in public settings and I get so excited about Jesus because he's with me all the time. And so I was at a coffee shop the other day and I'm just talking with friends about Jesus and I'm like, oh man, I gotta like tell somebody. So I like lean back and there's these three Asian girls that are doing schoolwork. I'm like, guys, the kingdom of heaven is here. And they're like, what? I'm like, do you know what that means? They're like, no. I'm like, well, let me tell you. We're part of, like, and I just begin to share the gospel. I'm like, the kingdom of heaven means that God's kingdom, like God's freedom and love and peace and life, everything that we long for a perfect world is here right now. Because Jesus is here, he's inside of me, and he wants to reign over you. He's inviting you into his kingdom. And so I shared the gospel, and one of the girls gave their life to Jesus. But I was just overfilled with joy. Praise God, I know. It's so good. And so that's been one of my favorite things. Like, the kingdom of God is here, because it is. And it's available to everyone, and it's exciting news. And it's not complicated, and we simply just need to invite people, but invite them into the kingdom where they are led to Jesus and actually can see him, right? So upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon the revelation of Jesus, Jesus is building his church through who he is. And this is the church that the gates of Hades cannot and will not prevail. He said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. What does that mean? The keys means we have access. The keys of the kingdom, That means that we're given authority to come in and out, to enter in. The keys of the kingdom means that all of heaven is available to us. Literally. All, like, multiplication of bread, right? Jesus did it. That's available to us. Healing, you know, seeing people come out of wheelchairs, raising the dead, like, all of heaven is available to us. And I believe there's such a great inheritance that is available, but we have to enter in. And the keys are for us to enter in and to see what heaven's really all about. Because when we're just bound, a lot of Christianity is bound up in a service, in a gathering. And that's just limiting to what how Christ wants to reign through his church. It has to be every day, realizing there's a dimension and reality that we don't see, but by faith we access it, and we walk with Jesus every day in the reality of faith in the Spirit as a son, receiving and walking with Jesus. When we walk with him, and here's the amazing thing, going back to the revelation of Jesus, when we actually walk with him, we know who he is right now. So who he is right now is how he wants to reveal himself to us and through us, right? So sometimes you're outside and you feel this urge to preach the gospel. That means Jesus or the Holy Spirit within you is revealing to you Jesus as the evangelist, as the one that proclaims the gospel and freedom, right? That's the revelation of Jesus. Don't miss it. A lot of times, and I had to grow up in it as well. Like, I was so afraid, I was so shy to preach the gospel. And I was just bound by fear. And this walking with Jesus is him continually loving on us and setting us freer and freer from fear, shame, guilt, doubt, condemnation, so that we would know who we are and that we would no longer be influenced by what we see. Because a majority of us live under the influence by what we see with our eyes. But if we would live with the eyes of faith, we would see the angels, all the hosts of heaven around us. We would see the angels that are ushering and ministering to us, that we would be ministering to this generation. You know, yeah, you have angels that are there to minister to you. Hebrews talks about it. They are ministering flames of fire that are ministering to us so that we would be faithful to minister to this generation. Are we taking advantage of that? Do we actually know that? Like, there's angels. You have angels that are assigned to your life. And if you know heaven's protocol, you will begin to use them. I won't get into that, but I've begun to use them because I know it, and let's not get weird about it. We don't worship angels, but they're part of God's kingdom. If he's the Lord of hosts, that means he's the Lord of heaven's armies. And if he's our Lord, that means he's backing us up with all of heaven. We are the kingdom here now to release his kingdom wherever we are. And so he's called us to rule with him on the earth. And so beginning to see with the eyes of faith, beginning to live with Jesus, walk with Jesus, feel his heart, feel his emotions, being tuned in the Spirit, knowing how he's feeling, just with simple phrases like, Lord, what are you feeling right now? You're in a coffee shop and you're aware of the kingdom. You're aware that you're a carrier of the kingdom and his presence. If you're in Jesus, you have Jesus. No longer do you need to feel Jesus. You believe that you have him, and you believe that wherever you show up, the kingdom of God is here. That's why I say that. The kingdom of God is here because I'm here. That's why I have confidence to say it. God is here. God is here right now because we're here, because each one of us carries the kingdom, right? And when we show up, the kingdom shows up. And when we believe that, we'll begin to take authority over wherever we go. We'll begin to take dominion over every place we step, the sole of our foot. We begin to advance the kingdom. And that's why Jesus died, so that he could advance his kingdom through a multiplying effect, right? And so God's giving us keys. God wants to give each one of us keys. It's that it is found in him, in his presence. And when he gives us keys, it's the higher way of ruling. And so I'll get into my last part. We are called to be a people that rule. And one thing I felt specifically to share tonight, because this is one thing, a major thing that how God's been showing up to me recently. Oh man, he's here. So he's been showing up to me as the king. When we gather as our community, his like kingly presence has been showing up. Like, to the degree that there's times where I like literally my body's like trembling because of his presence, and it's like a holy trembling. I'm like, I can't even stop. Like, there's like, it's coming from inside. Like, my body literally is shaking. And sometimes I'm like, am I cold? I'm like, I'm not cold. Like, this ain't shivers. This is like deep within the spirit. Like, his presence is making my body respond in this tangible way, right? And so we won't hop into manifestations right tonight. But it's fun. It's fun because our body responds. You know, people's body, all throughout scriptures, people's bodies responded. When Jesus showed up, even to John fell like flat on his face before the presence of Jesus, because our bodies respond to his presence when we're under submission to him. So when we find ourselves in his presence, we begin to be influenced by his presence, and we just begin to be influenced by him. And so the Lord's been coming to me as the king, because I know there's a reality that he wants to release over the church, to no longer be victims, but to actually reign. Guys, we're brought into a kingdom, a government. Like, if we would just understand that he wants us to rule. Like, people long. I mean, you know, there's politicians that, you know, spend their whole lives trying to get into government so that they could rule a nation, while Jesus has invited us to rule with him. Jesus has invited us to reign with him. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And now he's given us all power and authority. And when we begin to realize that, we come into his presence submitted to him. A lot of times we come with our own agenda. A lot of times we come with our own expectation. Okay, this is what's gonna happen. This is how I'm gonna pray. This is how I'm gonna worship. Like, da da da. It's like, no, simply presenting yourself before him is enough. Can you just do a pad? Just hold it. Yeah. Simply presenting yourself before him and allowing him to lead even the time in his presence, allowing him to show you how he wants to rule and reign through you. Each one of us has our God-given, like our God-ordained place to be in dominion. Which, what I mean by that is, whether you're in school, whether you're working at a coffee shop, whether you're at home, like, there's places of dominion that God wants to give you. And as his people, when we come into his presence, he begins to show us how to take dominion. He begins to show us how to pray. He begins to show us how to really wage war. Because the war against marijuana isn't just legalization or drugs or prostitution. All that stuff is in the spirit. We don't just fight that with natural laws. We have to learn to fight in the spirit. And it's the realm of faith that we begin to come up into Jesus and get his wisdom and coming in agreement with heaven. Okay, this is what Jesus is doing. He, like, when Jesus is when you're with him, let's say, and you begin to feel his heart for abortion, and you begin to agree with him, God, end abortion, break that spirit of death, break the spirit of death in our city in Jesus' name, and you begin to wage war in the spirit. you're waging in the spirit, and no longer is it just out of human logical like understanding, but it's in the spirit, and you're actually destroying principalities and powers, and you're beginning to be brought up into a higher wisdom, God's heavenly wisdom, right? And so that's why it's about being with Him, feeling His heart, getting the revelation of Jesus, and then from that place beginning to reign, beginning to take authority, beginning to rule with Him. Because there is a great inheritance. Each one of us has an inheritance. Each one of us has something that the Lord's prepared for us to take dominion. And it's powerful. It's mighty. It's great. And it might not be great in man's eyes. I'm not talking about being on a platform. I'm not talking about doing, like, a lot of times we have this picture of how amazing it should be. And we should just let Jesus define it. We should just allow Him to show us what it looks like and not come up with our own dreams or ideas. Like, the same way we can have our own dreams, but some dreams are legitimate. But He must initiate it. He must validate it. He must birth it within us. And so we are called, in Revelation, we're called kings and priests. And this is what I really feel strongly for over you guys tonight, that God is calling us to reign. God is wanting us to have an understanding that when we gather, it's for Him to reign over us so that He can reign through us. He won't reign through us until He reigns over us, until we're fully submitted, until we're fully surrendered, until we're like given over completely, surrendered to our own selfish ambitions, even ministry ambitions, even our own good ideas in ministry. Guys, it's not good enough. It's His heart that we feel that begins to birth His vision and His desires through us to show us how to take the city. Because He knows how to take the city. He is the all-wise and almighty and all-powerful one. But He is looking for a people that will be like the book of Acts, in one place, in one accord. In one place, in one accord. They were in unity. Our unity matters. Because our unity, even in relationship, will determine how He comes. Will determine how much He's able to release over ourselves. Ephesians 2 says this: our lives are being knit together to become a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Right? So the lives here in this room, it matters, your relationships, because when God sees a community that is knit together in love, that He can trust, it's like the same thing as family. You build family on covenant and commitment and faithfulness to run with one another, to love one another. And when you do that, then you have children. And children are born and raised up in the house that is just filled with love. And it, you know, fruitfulness comes out of intimacy. It comes out of unity, right? And so, like, even in this place, like, you guys here, like, learning to run with one another, learning to do life together, learning to be with one another, learning that your relationships matter, and then knowing that God's blessing comes when there's those covenant commitments, those covenant relationships to be together. And then out of that place, God begins to speak and birth, like, start this outreach, start going here. You know, He begins to birth things from the Spirit, that your acts of obedience, even if nothing happens, but your acts of obedience in submission to Jesus is ruling and reigning. And so we just got to get off of this worldly wisdom. For too long, the church has operated out of just good ideas and like great, you know, like ministry ambition. When God is calling us up higher, saying, submit to Me. Allow Me to birth things. Allow Me to validate things. Allow Me to reveal Myself that will unlock who You are and truly build My church. So let's stand. We're just going to present ourselves before the Lord tonight. We're going to honor the King. We're going to honor the King. We're going to honor Him for who He is. And I really felt this. I've never done this before. But I really feel like He wants to knight us. Like, during worship, towards the end, I just really felt like he's like, I want to knight those that want to reign with me. Because it's a reality. It's an invitation. It's his heart. He doesn't just want us to believe. He wants us to have faith and live by faith and live in another reality and dimension and begin to take our inheritance. He wants us to know our authority. He wants us to know who we are. He wants us to know who he is. And he wants to reign through us and take territory. He wants to take dominion. And this is what his kingdom looks like. Each one of you has your own kingdom. Think about, even now, just let's close our eyes and think about your close group of friends. I'm going to paint a picture to you what your kingdom looks like. You know, each one of us has a kingdom in our lives. And so there's that there's that family dynamic, the house that you live in. And then there's your close group of friends. There's different circles, right? There's that inner circle, the outer circle. There's the 3 to 4, the really close friends. And then there's the group of, 10, 15, 20 other kind of outer circle friends. And then there's the other reach that you have, people at school, the people at work, people that you influence and touch. These are your kingdoms. These are the places of influence that God has in your life. And that's your own little kingdom. But if Jesus is your king, that means he should reign through you in and through those kingdoms. He wants to take over people's lives through you. And it's coming under submission to the king. It's recognizing our authority, our power, our dominion that he's given us to extend the kingdom, to simply live close to his heart, to live by the eyes of faith, and to surrender to him our ideas and receive his thoughts and his life. And so I just want to invite those that want to be knighted by Jesus, those that really feel a resonation like, I'm ready to rule with Jesus as a son. It doesn't mean you have to have it all together. Peter didn't have it all together. He just saw who Jesus was, and that was enough. He just simply got a revelation because he was able to position himself to say, yes, Lord, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to live in the place of seeing you and revealing you. And I know that as we respond with a simple yes, God's going to release a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's going to open our eyes to see him. And he's going to give us authority. He's going to give us the keys in our kingdoms. He's going to give you keys. Jesus is going to give you keys. He has keys for you. He has keys for you. Jesus has keys for you. For you to rule and reign. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what age you are, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you say, yes, Lord, here I am. So as a sign of faith, if you want to be knighted by Jesus, by his presence, because he's here as the king tonight, if you want to be knighted by him as a ruler, as a king, as a queen, you could say even, in his presence, he wants to release a grace over you to even just receive this perspective, to receive from him tonight. You just come up to the front and just bow your knee before Jesus. This isn't before me. This isn't before the church. This is before Jesus, because he's here and he loves you and he wants to extend his kingdom through you, because lives are at stake. People are at stake. Eternity is at stake. He wants to rule through you. He wants to give you authority. He wants you to know your authority. And he's going to just release grace. Jesus is going to release grace over you. I want just give him all your attention. We're not here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for him. Allow him just to speak to your heart. Just present yourself before him. Say, King Jesus, here I am. and just look at him. Just look at him, because he's enough. He is enough. Surrender to him afresh, because he's worthy. He's worthy of a continual surrendered life. Services. We're here for you. Mark us with your presence. We want to be a people that honor you. We want to bring you joy. We want to bring the King joy. We want to bring you joy. We want you to love. To reign over us. Of warfare. He's going to teach you to love deeper. He's going to teach you to walk in joy. He's even putting thoughts in your mind right now. Of how he wants to use you in your place of influence. That's his reign. That's his kingdom. That's it. That's what he's calling you into. Just let him speak to your heart. spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Use the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Jesus, over this community, over this house, that they would reign by your wisdom, by your person, by your presence. They would be a people of your presence. I release grace. Release grace. Grace. You are my son, you are my daughter. I'm calling you higher, I'm calling you deeper. I'm expanding your heart to love. I'm expanding your heart to give. Giving you my love. Even now, I'm giving you my love, says the Lord. I'm giving you my love. My love, which is deeper, which is wider, which is higher. The love that passes knowledge, receive. This is how you reign. You reign with love. You reign with humility. You reign with joy. Don't think you're too young for this. Don't think I'm just a few more years. No, God is serious. He's raising up a generation. He's raising up a generation now. And you are it. You are it. You are it. He calls the willing. He calls the humble. He calls the broken. He calls those who go low. He calls those that say yes. Just, it's a simple yes. He will teach you. I release Holy Spirit, the teacher that teaches you to live in the Spirit. To live in the Spirit. To live by the supernatural. To see with the eyes of faith the kingdom right in front of you. The kingdom right within you. I thank you, Lord, for a shift right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for grace and a shift to see the kingdom. No longer live in the flesh, but live in the Spirit, to live from the Spirit, to live in the reality of the kingdom. Release grace, release grace, release grace, grace. Take them in the ease. It's easy because it's free. All you have to do is receive and give. You could only give what you receive, and anything, the only thing worth giving is Him. So be with Him, just be with Him, just be with Him. He loves you. Respond to the call even to be with Him daily. Spend time at His feet. Spend time at His feet. Just spend time at His feet. Be with me, says the Lord. Be with me. Be with me. Be with me. You will feel the tug on your heart throughout the day. Even if it's a minute or two of giving Him your attention, He calls you to be, to be, to be, to be, to be. Just be with me, says the Lord. Just be with me. I'll tug on your heart. I will draw you in. Your heart will yearn to be with me. Hunger, fresh hunger, fresh hunger, fresh hunger. Fresh hunger, fresh hunger. Hunger for the word, hunger for the presence, hunger just to be, to sit at your feet. I thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you. bond of peace, the unity, the unity, the unity, the one mind, one heart, the one mind, the one heart, that there would be no divisions, that there would be no gossips, that there would be nothing against one another, that there would be forgiveness, that there would be freedom, that there would be love, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the love of the family here over this community, God, that you would come. I thank you, Holy Spirit.